This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Linmark Kusuchwang and Syarits Abdullah. In Indonesia, at least six people have died in riots following the announcement that incumbent President Joko Widodo has retained his presidency for a second term. The General Elections Commission reported that Widodo, or better known as Jokowi, won 55.5% of the national vote, while his main challenger, Prabowo Subianto, had the remaining 44.5%. Jokowi is expected to be sworn in for the second time on the 20th of October.
And there's been some alleged irregularities by Prabowo with regards to the conduct of the election and vowed to reject the official results. So he has claimed victory repeatedly while citing his own campaign's team survey of votes. His supporters have also called for public rallies to protest against the official results. So, in the meantime, in Indonesia, a candidate can challenge the result in the nation's constitutional court within 3 days before the commission confirms the winner.
Yeah, it's become a bit ugly in the nation's capital. In fact, earlier this morning, I called a friend of mine. He works in Jakarta. He's a president director of a local insurance company. And apparently, the government there have basically said that you can go to work voluntarily or you can choose to stay at home. And it's become quite become a bit ugly, actually, especially for non-Muslim, the Chinese, because sometimes the dissent seems to spill over into society. And essentially, I think what happens is Prabowo has postured himself as a bit of a keeper of the faith. And because he's lost, he's seen as a bit of a sore loser among the corporate elite. Mm. And he's been fanning the flames of discord to try and curry favour among the masses.
So for more insight into the situation down there in Indonesia, we have on the line Alden Iswanto, an analyst at KRA Group. Thank you for joining us, Alden. So what are your key takeaways from the election? Was there any doubt in your mind that Jokowi would win?
Well, Mr. Widodo has been enjoying a big margin of 20% in August last year. And it does seem that issues of fake news had partially curbed his popularity, but in the end, the gap proved too big for Prabowo and Sandiaga in the end. And also the quick count, which has proven to be quite accurate over the past election. None of them noted a victory in favor for Prabowo. So in the end, it is very difficult from a neutral point of view to believe any of Prabowo's victory claim.
And Alden, the retired General Prabowo Subianto, now he is contesting the result. What are the implications of this? I mean, could we be seeing protest trigger from the allegation?
Well, Prabowo rejecting the result is a bit quite predicted because he did reject the results back in 2014. But the severity of this protest since 2 days ago was a bit unexpected. However, it appears that the police and the army has managed to contain it to only certain areas in Jakarta, so it's not yet like a citywide crisis. Prabowo's rejections of the results will continue to embolden his supporters to keep delegitimizing the results, and reconciliation will be much more difficult before he can accept his defeat. But economically wise, we will see an extended period of political uncertainty. And if he does file a complaint to the Constitutional Court, then it will be at least another month until the claim is resolved. And thus, this would prevent Jokowi to reshuffle his cabinet and get anything moving.
So in that interim period, Alden, what's the priority for Widodo? In fact, more broadly as well, what's his second term spell for the economy going forward?
Well, for his first term, he has laid some groundwork, especially with all his infrastructure building and supposedly cutting the red tape. But now his homework is about how to direct the economy to push growth for more than 5%. And the quickest way to ramp up, to increase your growth, is to ramp up foreign investment and diversify out of commodity. And he needs to prove to foreign investors that Indonesia is an attractive place compared to, let's say, like Vietnam, by at least solving the other fundamental issues of stranger labor laws and complicated bureaucracy. And to be honest, to start your first term with this kind of political uncertainty does not really help his image as well.
So, Alden, just taking a look at Joko Widodo's plans to spend about $400 billion on infrastructure projects like building airports, power plants, etc. How important are they to the Indonesian public, and how is he going to finance them?
Well, Indonesia is still behind in terms of infrastructure, especially when you compare it to our neighbors like Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, which has led to high logistic costs that deters investors. It even deters intra-country travel. And I think the plan by the Ministry of National Planning was quite welcomed, and especially when he announced that 60% of it will go towards transportation-related infrastructure. But the key thing now is how to ensure that all this infrastructure will not go to waste. It needs to be properly studied first, and they need to find the appropriate partners. And he has to make sure that all this infrastructure is connected to all the industrial centers, tourism hotspots, and residential areas, so it doesn't go to waste.
Thank you so much. And that was Alden Iswanto of KRA Group weighing in on the Indonesian elections, which saw President Joko Widodo stick around for a second five-year term. Now, his plan to actually spend $412 billion on Indonesia's infrastructure is quite interesting. 60% of the projects are going to be transportation-related, but it's also paired with other plans for spending, like on education, for example. He's pledged to create 100 million jobs in that sector, and as well as the fact that they're looking to move the capital from Jakarta.
That's right. So I guess all this really stems from two things, right? One is that in his first term, he promised a growth of around 7%, but Indonesia only chalked up just slightly over 5. And then, of course, there's also the ongoing trade spat between the Chinese and the Americans, and Indonesia is trying to shield itself from those issues.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.